Okay, I want you to close your eyes for a second. Picture it. It's maybe 1992.
So.
You're sitting on the living room carpet. You've probably got a juice box, maybe some Dunkaroos, and on the TV in front of you is the Panner family.
Full House. Oh, yeah. That's the ultimate comfort food of television.
Exactly. And right there, in the middle of it all, is DJ Tanner. She's the big sister we all kind of wanted. You know, she's dealing with a bad grade or a boy problem or a fight with Stephanie. But you knew, you just knew that by the end of those 22
It was
minutes,
all going to be okay.
she was going to fix it. She represented safety. She was a world that made sense.
That's a really powerful image. I mean, that specific kind of nostalgia is a heck of a drug. It tells us that, problems are solvable and families have each other's backs.
The woman behind that character, Candace Cameron Bure, she didn't just walk away from that image when the show ended.
Not at all.
She doubled down on it. She built an absolute empire on being the Queen of Christmas, the face of the Hallmark Channel.
Right. If you want a movie where a big city executive falls for a small town woodcarver,
And saves the local gazebo, she is your go-to.
she is the undisputed symbol of wholesome, family-friendly entertainment, the brand of safe.
Which brings us to the twist. Because today we are not talking about Christmas cookies or the Golden Gate Bridge.
No.
We are diving into a sack of sources, articles, cultural critiques, and some pretty heavy psychological analysis that suggest DJ Tanner has become a central figure in a much darker, grittier world.
It is a bit of a record scratch moment, isn't it? We're looking at reports detailing her involvement with religious conspiracy theories.
Right.
And to be clear, we're not just talking about political differences here. We're talking about deep state narratives and spiritual warfare.
So here's our mission for this deep dive. We aren't here to gossip. We're not here to trash a celebrity.
Yeah.
We want to use this as a case study to understand something much bigger. How does a figure known for safety become a lightning rod for the culture wars?
And maybe more importantly, what does the science say about why these theories are so seductive, especially to faith communities?
It's a fascinating intersection. Celebrity influence, psychology, the viral nature of the internet. It's about how we process truth in the digital age.
Let's get into it.
I think we have to start with the shift itself. Because Candace Cameron Bure, she isn't just an actress, she's a brand.
Right. She's a producer, an author, a talk show panelist, and the
Bet.
core of that brand has always, always been her Christian faith.
She's never been shy about it. And for a long time, that was her biggest selling point, right? She offered content for a demographic that felt ignored by edgy Hollywood.
And that is a massive market. Millions of people want that. But the sources we're looking at today point out a distinct change in tone over the last few years.
It moved from, here's my personal testimony about Jesus, to something else.
To engaging with ideologies that are, let's say, adversarial.
Adversarial is a good word. The reporting we saw identifies two specific categories of theories she's been associated with.
Yeah, and it's important we define these clearly because conspiracy theory gets thrown around as a buzzword.
But these are specific narratives.
Very specific.
Okay, so walk us through the first one. This is the education and media theory.
Yes. So this goes way beyond the usual complaint that schools are too liberal or that the news has a bias. This is the belief that these institutions are engaged in
Like a deliberate plot.
a systematic, deliberate effort to dismantle biblical truth.
So not just that they're secular, but that they're weaponized against faith.
Precisely. It frames the school system and the news media not as flawed institutions, but as active enemies.
Wow.
Candace has advocated for what she calls a scripture-centric understanding of civilization. Now, to a person of faith, that might just sound like standard devotion.
Sure.
But the sources argue that in the context of these theories, it creates a binary worldview, a very black and white one.
Where everything outside of that bubble is trying to destroy you.
Exactly.
That's a heavy mindset to carry around. I mean, if you believe the history books or the science curriculum are designed to hurt your children's souls,
It changes everything.
it's not just a disagreement on policy, it's an existential threat.
It creates this immense distrust, and that leads right into the second category, which is even more intense.
This is the global events and clandestine groups narrative.
Yeah.
So we're talking shadowy elites stuff.
We are, but with a very specific religious overlay. The sources detail instances where she's engaged with narratives that suggest major global events.
Like pandemics, elections.
Pandemics, elections, economic shifts, you name it, are being orchestrated by secret groups. And the key here is the motivation.
It's not just about money or power.
No, it's framed as spiritual warfare.
Spiritual warfare. So you mean these secret groups are demonic?
Essentially, yes. Or at least serving evil forces. And this is where it gets really tricky.
Mm.
Because if you frame a political disagreement as a cosmic struggle between God and the devil, there is no room for compromise. The sources suggest that by validating these views, she's telling her followers that their paranoia about the world isn't paranoia at all.
It's spiritual insight.
You got it.
That is a powerful validation, especially yeah. coming from someone you trust. But I want to pause on the why, because it's so easy to just dismiss this as
crazy internet stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But the articles we read dug into the psychology of this, and it's quite logical in yeah. a very human sort of way.
It is. And that's maybe the most important insight here. This is not about intelligence.
Yeah.
You can be incredibly smart, successful, and still fall into this. The source material points to a concept called cognitive closure, the desire for coherence.
Coherence.
Yeah.
So making things make sense.
Think about the last few years. Just everything. Pandemics, inflation, rapid social changes, political polarization. The world feels chaotic.
It feels random.
And the human brain hates randomness. We are pattern-seeking machines. We need to know why things are happening. We crave a narrative.
We want a story that connects the dots.
Yeah.
We want the movie plot where everything gets resolved in the end.
Exactly. Now, imagine you have a deeply held religious worldview. You believe God's in control and that your values are the right ones.
Okay.
But then you look at the news and society seems to be moving in the complete opposite direction of that.
That creates a conflict, a dissonance.
It's a mental conflict, and it hurts, because if you're right, the world shouldn't look like this.
Right.
So a conspiracy theory comes along and says, hey, you're right. The world isn't messy and random. It's actually being controlled by a secret evil plot.
Oh, I see. So in a really weird way, that's comforting.
It is incredibly comforting. It restores order. It explains why things are going wrong without you having to challenge your own worldview.
It puts you back in the driver's seat.
Yes. You aren't a victim of random chaos. You're a truth seeker who knows what's really going on.
That makes so much sense. It turns anxiety into a mission. Instead of being scared, you're prepared.
And then you layer the community aspect on top of that. The sources highlight that religious communities are often very tight-knit. They are high-trust environments.
Right. If someone at my church or in my prayer group shares an article, I'm probably not going to fact-check it the way I would a stranger's post.
You assume they've done the homework. It's an echo chamber, but one built on love and shared values. So if a narrative gains traction in that group,
it gets legitimized.
And to question the theory suddenly feels like you're questioning the group itself.
It becomes a loyalty test. You don't want to be the one person rocking the boat.
And this is just minimizes exposure to contrary views. You end up in this feedback loop where everyone you respect is saying the same thing, and the outside world.
The media or the experts.
They're already framed as the enemy. It's a perfect closed loop.
And that leads to that third pillar the sources mentioned.
Hmm.
The distrust of institutions.
Right. If you already feel that the government or Hollywood or academia doesn't respect your faith, which, let's be honest, is a feeling many religious people validly have, you are primed to look for alternatives.
You're looking for a counter-narrative, and Candace Cameron-Bure provides it.
She's the insider.
She's the whistleblower who's telling the truth.
She's the one saying, I'm in Hollywood, I see how it works, and you're right to be suspicious.
So naturally, this has caused a massive split in her audience. I was reading through the breakdown of the reactions, and it really is a tale of two cities.
It is highly polarized. On one side, you have the supporters, and we have to understand their perspective. They don't see this as conspiracy.
They see it as courage.
They see it as courage. They feel like she's saying what they're all thinking, but are afraid to say at work or online.
They view her as a warrior.
Yes. They feel that religious discourse is stifled in the mainstream. So when DJ Tanner stands up and says something is wrong here, they feel represented.
And they appreciate that she isn't bending the knee to what they see as woke culture.
Exactly. They see her bravery as a sign of her faith.
And then you have the critics. And the sources point out this isn't just haters on Twitter. We're talking about religious scholars and media analysts.
Right. The criticism is substantial. And the main argument is that these theories are dangerous and misleading.
How so?
By tying Christianity to provably false conspiracies like medical misinformation or election denial, critics argue she is actually damaging the reputation of the faith she claims to protect.
It makes the faith look anti-intellectual.
That's it. And there's a real concern about polarization. I mean, when you frame your neighbors as participants in a demonic agenda.
It destroys any possibility of civil discourse.
You can't debate someone you think is an agent of evil. You can't compromise with them. It stops being a disagreement and starts being a war.
That's a frightening shift for society.
And the sources emphasize that celebrities has a responsibility here. It's the Spider-Man rule. With great power comes great responsibility.
When you have millions of followers, just asking questions about a conspiracy theory can do real-world damage.
Which brings us to the mechanism of celebrity influence. Because she is not just some random Facebook user.
No. Celebrities act as validators.
Validators, yeah. Mm. Think about it. If you see a weird theory on some random blog with Comic Sans font, you just ignore it.
Right.
But if the woman you grew up watching, the woman who represents family values, posts it, it suddenly gets a veneer of legitimacy.
It bypasses your skeptical filter. You think, well, she seems normal. She seems nice. If she thinks this is true, maybe I should look into it.
And her reach allows it to go viral instantly. The danger, as our sources outline, is that this contributes to a broader culture of skepticism toward facts.
If people stop trusting doctors or historians because a celebrity told them to,
that ripples through society. It affects how people vote, how they treat their health, how they treat their neighbors. It's not just a harmless Instagram story.
It has consequences.
And critics argue she has failed in her duty of care, that by amplifying these things, she is actively shaping behavior in a way that isn't anchored in truth.
Now, I want to zoom out for a second, because it feels like this is everywhere right now. It feels like a very 2020s problem.
It does.
But the historical analysis in our source stack was really eye-opening. That this isn't new, is it?
Not at all. It would be so easy to blame Twitter or the algorithm, but the impulse is ancient. The source material draws a line all the way back to early Christianity.
Wait, really? Christians were the conspiracy theorists back then.
Actually, they were the targets. In the Roman Empire, Christians were the deep state.
No way.
Think about it. They were a minority group with secret meetings, which were just church services.
Yeah.
They refused to worship the emperor, and they had different values.
So the Romans accused them of conspiring to overthrow the empire.
That, and even cannibalism.
Cannibalism. Where did that come from?
Because they talked about eating the body and blood of Christ in communion. The Romans took it literally. They spun this massive conspiracy theory that Christians were these baby-eating monsters destroying Rome from the inside.
Wow. So it was just fear of the unknown, the majority panicking about a minority they didn't understand.
Fear of the other. And then you fast forward to the Reformation. You had Protestants and Catholics accusing each other of these massive secret plots to destroy the true faith.
The mistrust was baked into the conflict.
Absolutely. It wasn't just theological, it was conspiratorial. It seems like whenever the world changes uncomfortably fast, these stories pop up to explain it.
And the sources mention a really dark example.
Yeah.
The blood libel.
Yeah, that was a medieval conspiracy theory that falsely accused Jews of ritualistically murdering Christian children. It was a horrific lie, but it persisted for centuries.
Well, yeah.
Because it played into people's deepest fears and prejudices.
That's a stark reminder that these stories aren't just fun national treasure plots.
No.
They can get people killed. They legitimize violence.
They weaponize fear. In the modern era, the rise of globalism and now the internet have just acted as an accelerant. The speed is new, but the psychology, it's the same old human story.
So Candace Cameron-Bure is basically the modern face of a very old pattern.
She is the current iteration of where fear, faith, and societal upheaval intersect. She's channeling that ancient impulse to find a secret enemy to explain a changing world.
It makes you realize we haven't evolved as much as we think we have.
Not on this front, no.
But let's bring it back to the here and now, specifically to her career. Hollywood's a business. She works in the family-friendly corner, but it's still show business. Can she keep doing this?
That is the big question mark hanging over this whole thing. The source discusses the potential fallout, and it's a precarious balance.
Because Hollywood is pushing so hard for inclusivity, diversity, and generally speaking, progressive values.
Right. And producers and studios are risk-averse. They want the widest possible audience. If Candace becomes seen as too divisive, or if she's alienating a big chunk of the potential audience,
studios might hesitate. It's the risk of becoming too niche.
Exactly. She has a very loyal base, and she could probably make a living serving just them forever. But to be a leading lady, to headline movies with broad distribution.
Usually need the general public on your side.
And if she becomes radioactive to the mainstream, she limits her own ceiling. We've seen this with other stars. You eventually get siloed into your own ecosystem.
You leave the big pond for a small, very specific aquarium.
And the sources suggest she might be okay with that. It seems she's chosen a path that prioritizes her specific expression of belief over broad brand safety.
Which, to be fair, is her right.
Absolutely. But it's a choice that comes with consequences. She's trading broad appeal for deep intensity with a smaller group. And for the studios, that changes the math on whether she's a viable investment.
It is a wild trajectory. We've gone from DJ Tanner in a side ponytail to a figurehead in a cultural battle over truth itself.
It just highlights how messy the relationship between faith and modern culture has become. It's not just about what you believe anymore. It's about what facts you accept.
So what does this all mean for us, for you listening right now, maybe on your commute? We've looked at the psychology, the history, the industry fallout. What's the takeaway?
I think the biggest nugget here is about discernment. We live in an age where the line between truth and conspiracy is incredibly blurry, and we have these parasocial relationships with celebrities.
We feel like we know them.
We do. We trust them because they've been in our living rooms for 30 years. We think DJ Tanner wouldn't lie to me.
But that trust is a vulnerability. The source material argues that we need to separate the person we like on screen from the information they're sharing.
Just because someone makes you feel safe on TV doesn't mean their grasp of global economics or history is correct.
That brings up a final thought that really stuck with me from the reading. As we increasingly look to celebrities for guidance, not just on fashion, but on health, on politics, on the nature of reality, how much due diligence do you owe to yourself?
That is the critical question.
The controversy isn't just about what Candace Cameron Bure believes. It's about why we listened to her in the first place. When a celebrity tells you the world is controlled by a secret cabal, do you nod along because you like their sitcom? Or do you stop and check the facts?
It's the challenge to be an active, critical thinker, not just a fan. It's about taking responsibility for your own worldview.
And that's a challenge we all have to face every single time we open our phones. Thanks for diving deep with us today. It's a complex world out there. Keep your eyes open.
Stay curious.
We'll catch you on the next deep dive.